You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
How's everybody doing? Not me. You can laugh. Oh my goodness. It almost doesn't seem real that I'm sitting here right now. This has been an interesting journey to this point this week. And I have a former boss that used to always say, don't get too high, don't get too low. But I might take you there today. We might get a little high, we might get a little low. I don't mean high, like, you know, none of that stuff. We do different things, but we don't do that here at MC3. So, but I have to tell you, the support this week and the love from you all has been tremendous in supporting me, preparing for this, because as many of you know, this isn't going to be an easy topic for me as we go through this, but still getting situated here. I did get a message this morning that I really appreciated. Gene Bennett, who's one of our prime group leaders here, couldn't be here this morning, and he felt bad about it. So, Justin, this goes... There you are. I can't see in these lights. This goes right along with the message you had last week. Christina, you'll appreciate this. He said, I'm sorry I'm missing your massage today. You'll do good. Thank you, Gene. Let me know next time I schedule you in on the couples massage. But I do appreciate that. So, to start out this week, I actually have some fun stuff to wrap up from last week. If you all were at Prime Group last week, and this is where I get to put my plug in for the Prime Groups, as I lead Prime Groups here at MC3 as far as coordinate it. Prime Groups are our small groups where we get together during the week with families, with one another, and we talk about what the point was on Sunday, but more importantly, we just build relationships and we support one another and just become part of one another's lives. And if you're not part of Prime Groups, I really encourage it, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that today as we talk about this topic. But we had a fun activity last week. If you recall, Sean talked last week. He referred to when you stand up close to a painting, that blob of paint might not look like much, but when you stand back, you can actually see the whole picture, and it's something that's beautiful. And oftentimes, life is like that when we go through the hurts. So when we were talking about this ahead of time, I was thinking, man, stereograms are perfect for that. If you don't know what a stereogram is, it's the 3D pictures that you can see behind me. They're not good ones because they're all in black and white, and they're really small. So if you can see them, wow, you're amazing. But while I'm talking about this, before I forget, I need a representative from each Prime group. So whoever your best 3D viewer is, come up here in the front row and sit down. One person from each Prime group. Carrie, I think that's going to have to be you for my Prime group. So, because I got a little competition for you guys here. But anyways, we sent these stereograms home with you guys for your Prime groups this week to have a competition to see how good you guys are. And so I'm going to let you guys know how you did with these. So I've got these. You guys are all winners. And you all get a trophy for this, just so you know. But let's see how you guys did. These are in order. Well, let's just say we'll get to the best one last. So here's the first one. This is the Walters Prime Group. And this was their picture that they looked at. You might be able to see it from back there. Let's see what they thought that this picture was of. Their description was, our picture is a dragon, or a cat with wings, if you ask Josh. Beautiful job, Josh. And I thought at least, he's talking about a griffin, you know, a cat like a lion with wings. No, he's talking about a little house cat, domestic cat. So. Sorry, man. Let's see what it really is. An open-winged dragon perched on its hind legs on a natural stone bridge with a few stalagmites rising from a canyon. So they were close, right? They saw the dragon. You need to pay attention in your Prime Group leaders meetings. All right, so let's look at our next group. And some of these were close. Some of these are real close. Now, this is the prime group of eclectic eccentrics, and that's my prime group, so, you know, go figure. This was a tough one, and it actually took me a while to figure this one out. Let's see what my group said. I did not participate in this. It said, there's a guy towards the top, all the way across with his arms crossed, look like he has long hair and a beard and standing legs crossed. And Jen said it looked like Jesus. Let's see what it actually is. There's a ballerina figurine atop a couple layers of gears, just like in a music box. She did have her legs crossed. You are correct. Okay, next group. We've got the Unst family. Let's see what they said their picture was. Ours was a field with three deer. Two were standing and one was in mid-run, a la Bambi's mother during the forest fire. I had to give some kudos for creativity there. That was definitely John writing that, right? Yeah, yeah. Let's see what it is. One running and two watchful does standing in a field of flowers that become 3D along with mountains and clouds. So all the flowers actually become 3D as well as the mountains and clouds. You guys were really close. Nice job. All right, our next group was the Gensels, and I will give you credit for not throwing in extra detail to fake it because you probably could have. Let's see what they saw in their picture. A woman swimming and an octopus getting ready to attack her or wound her. I loved that. Was brownie points for playing into the theme of wounded. Let's see what it is. A lady swimmer diving with an octopus swimming up behind her from the dark. Her legs are to the left and above her head while her right arm is above her head and the left arm below it. So, nice job. Next group. We've got... Who am I forgetting here? Fergus. Fergus Prime Group. What is it with me forgetting you guys this week? Sent a message yesterday. You didn't send me your description. Yes, we did. You even replied to it, Brian. All right, let's see what they said. Several horses running with mountains in the background. Others saw just one horse running with four mountains in the background. The second mountain is the largest. The horse has three hooves off the ground. Both front and one in the back hooves are off the ground. The tail is in a Z shape, which I didn't even see, but you guys are correct. Let's see what description is I have. A Mustang horse slowing its stride in front of a mountain range with four peaks rising above the horizon, front legs, and one back leg is off the ground. So very nice job, guys. Very nice job. And then, you're going to understand it when you see it, but I had to call this one the best one. And so, Christina, come on up here. You guys, the Bennett Prime group gets to win licorice. I love giving them licorice since most of their group is on Prime 30 and can't eat it. Whole 30, sorry. Prime group, Whole 30. So congratulations to you guys, and you can go sit down. You can share that with your kids, with the Prime group kids. I'm sure you don't want to get Sarah all hopped up on licorice, but let's see what they said about this. This was pretty good. I can't see that top part. Okay, a Spanish ship, three masts with three sails, each three levels of sails. The ship faces left, front of the ship on the left, rear of the ship on the right. Thank you for clarifying that if the front of the ship is on the left. Anyways, three flags at the rear, a white flag with a red cross at the top of the first mast. And I was like, huh? No way. I had to go back and look at that one too. Two mountains behind the ship in the background, waves around the ship, three to four dolphins in the waves, and an island with two palm trees. You think they were making this up? Let's see how they did. A man of war, wooden ship with, and it was a man of war, I want to clarify that because I'm a nerd, with three mountains rising in the background, three masts each having three layers of sails, a distinct flag with a cross atop the main mast, and a flag down on the bottom of the ship, waves around the ship, and an island off the port side with two palm trees. Didn't see any dolphins, but they could have been there. So, nice job, guys. And I'll explain why we're looking at these here in a minute. But I've got one more for you. And that's what we've got these guys here for, because it'll be easier to be a little bit closer for this. And if you can see this from back there, go ahead. But shout it out. As soon as you see it, shout it out. And look at me when you see it and shout it out. And mean it.
Nope.
The letter N.
No. It is a phrase. I will give you a clue. What?
It's a phrase.
It's a phrase. It's four words. Hopefully you guys can get this. You can stand up if you want to. You can stand up and get closer. Don't be cheating, standing in front of Jeb. You guys got about 1 minute to figure this one out. I really want you to get it.
You are so awesome.
I love you, man. Josh got it. Great job. Come up here, Josh. Real quick. Come here. Woo. Can you say that again with just a little bit more meaning?
You are so awesome.
Thank you. I'd give you a hug, but we might start crying. You and Jer, have fun, man. Great job, guys. So you guys can go back to your seats. Yes, it says you are awesome. I needed a little bit of affirmation before we get started, so you know. So, of course, you know, when we look back over the last couple of weeks, we're like, why are we doing this? Of course, we like to have fun here. And, you know, when Sean was talking about that last week, you know, well, let me back up. The first week we talked about when we're wounded, God understands. And we started looking about how Habakkuk was living through some tough times. And was just, he's a prophet of God. And he's like, God, what is going on? There's all these wicked people just taking over our country, your people. What is up with this? And he you know, was just so burdened with this. And we talked about how God understands what's going on. And then we went into the second week. Last week, Sean talked about when we're wounded, we need to hang on. And that's when he was talking about the pictures, that sometimes we're so close to something that we can't see the forest from the trees. And sometimes we're going through some pretty tough times and hurt. And it's easy to stay focused in that area. And it's kind of the same thing with these pictures. It's a fun thing to do. It's a fun activity. It relates. How many of you could not see anything in the 3D pictures? It's very real. And you know what I love? I love that people say, I refuse to do those. They're stupid. Just admit it, you can't do it. But anyways, that's very real. There's a lot of people that can't see these pictures. And life is often like that. The picture of our life is right in front of us, and it's so hard to see what's actually going on. But the big picture is so different. So as we look at this week, we're going to continue on here talking about being wounded. And our point this week is when we're wounded, God's still in control. This is hard. Because when we're wounded, our perspective changes. Our perspective changes because of our circumstances around us. Now, I want to kind of look at where we left off. We left off in Habakkuk 2:5 last week, and it was where Habakkuk had complained in chapter 1. God had responded. Habakkuk complains again, and that's what we looked at in when Habakkuk started to complain again, and then Sean just kicked us off where God starts to respond to him. And let's just kind of read through this. Now, let me clarify, and I'm going to read this off the screen, so I'll get out of your way here. But let me clarify. So this is God talking about Babylon. Babylon is the big power at this time, if you remember, and they are oppressing the Israelites. They're starting to take over the world at this point, and they are wicked. I mean, they are ruthless. They come in and attack and plunder without, they don't care what they do. And so here's God talking about Babylon in his response to Habakkuk, starting at verse 6. But soon their captives will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, what sorrow awaits you, thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You've become rich by extortion, but how much longer can this go on? Suddenly your debtors will take action. They will turn on you, and you have plundered many nations. Now all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What sorrows await you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly? You believe your wealth will buy security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger. Does that sound familiar? Boy, that sounds familiar to me. I mean, that hits close to home. And he's talking about Babylon here. Putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger, but by the murders you committed, you have shamed your name and forfeited your lives. The very stones in the walls cry out against you, and the beams in the ceilings echo the complaint. On to verse 12. What sorrow awaits you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption? Has not the Lord of Heaven's armies promised that the wealth of nations will turn to ashes? They work so hard, but all in vain. But as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of God. You hear this? The promise is starting to come here. They work so hard, but all in vain. For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of God. What sorrow awaits you who make neighbors drunk? You force your cup on them so you can gloat over their shameful nakedness, but soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come drink and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will be turned to shame. You cut down the forest of Lebanon, now you will be cut down. You destroyed the wild animals, so now their terror will be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. So, what God is making clear here to Habakkuk is, I know, yes, I am a righteous God, but I know what is going on in this earth. I know what the Babylonians are like, and I know that their wickedness will also be the end of them. But I have a plan here. And I want to look at the next verse here, and I just want to stop for a second. And this might seem like a rabbit trail, but I think you'll see how this ties in here eventually. God goes on to talk about the Babylonians in verse 18, and I've got a couple props here. They're corny, but they'll work. God starts talking about their idols. What good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a God that can't even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to wooden idols, wake up and save us. To speechless stone images you say, rise up and teach us. Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. Now this seems crazy to us. You know, this is the closest thing I have to a statue. I've got our little ring holder here. We go on our honeymoon, and my little elephant that a friend sent me from Africa. So could you imagine this? This seems crazy to us. Oh, great God, we're going into battle. Please answer. Please give us victory. Please give us wealth beyond our... You guys saw me doing that. You'd think I was nuts, right? So we don't relate to this too well today and in our culture, you know. But let me use these as an example of something for you. So I've added a flower here, and I've added an iPad. You can tell it's mine. It's got a pink cover. Not really. But these represent something. Because even though God's talking about the Babylonians here and their idols and what they put their trust and faith in, we've got some things we put our trust and faith in too, don't we? So let's say that this iPad, for me, represents materialism. Owning things. I want the next best thing, except a pink cover. And this is a real thing for me. This is an idol to me. And that's hard to admit sometimes, but wanting the next best thing, I tend to worship that sometimes. Let's talk about the elephant. Stability. I figured an elephant would be good for stability. Their feet are on the ground pretty solid. Stability in life. Making sure I have that job security. Making sure that I'm in control of my family's future. It's pretty important. And it is important. I should want to take care of my family. But sometimes it becomes more important than God in my life. Sometimes I don't trust in God with that. And therefore, it becomes something that's an idol to me. The statue, and it kind of goes along with the elephant. Since he could hold some coins here, I'll refer to him as my paycheck. I put a lot of faith in my paycheck. I dare say I put more faith in my paycheck than I put in God. This is a hard one for me. And it's pretty important because this paycheck feeds this one here. This paycheck feeds these desires here. And if I don't have this, I can't provide this, and I can't get this. So that becomes pretty important. And this one's a tough one. Don't you love gifts from your little girls as a father? This is my flower. This was from the girls last year. This one's a tough subject. Because for all intent and purposes, it's good. That flower represents relationships. Relationships are so important in our lives, and we're going to talk more about that as we go on here. But relationships can become what we worship. Our relationships with other people often replace God. I'll come back to that one in a little bit. So keep those in mind. Keep those in mind. It's a little bit of a sidetrack, but we're going to talk about how some of these relate to hurt. And this is the key verse for this week as we go from verse 19 into verse 20. And I wanted to specifically use the verse from the New Living Translation because there's a key word here. Take note of the word but. You've heard this before. Sean's used this little acronym that I've told you guys about, and Chris, if you're going to listen to this online, thank you for giving me this acronym. But stands for Behold Underlying Truth. Anytime you see a but in the sentence, B-U-T, but, in the sentence, it means pay attention because there's something you need to hear. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. The Lord is in His holy temple. He's not some figurine that the Babylonians are worshiping that they made out of their own hands. He's not some piece of technology that we're just desiring so much and we will do anything to get a hold of it because it's what we want. God is in His temple. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this some more. I'm going to leave that hanging a little bit. But I want to go back and I want to talk about wounds again. And I want to talk a little bit on a heart-to-heart level. Bear with me. I don't know where I'm going to go with this conversation today. We might all be crying at some point. I might become numb and it might not even hit me. I don't know. We'll see. But the first thing I want to talk about wounds is that wounds require attention. Right? What happens when you cut yourself? Hopefully you do something about it, right? You put a Band-Aid on it. You put some medicine on it. Sometimes it requires stitches because it's a pretty deep wound. But they require attention. And here's the reality of it. Wounds, it's okay. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to let people know that you hurt. Because oftentimes when we get wounded, we clam up. We shut people out. We don't want to be part of other people's lives. I've seen so many people go through tough times in life, and what do? They walk away from church. Because they just don't want to give the attention they need to the wounds. And that is not going to heal the wound. Here's the thing about wounds. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus coming to earth, being both fully God and fully man, is that he walked in our shoes. Does anybody know the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Yep, John 11:35. Unless if you're in the Greek, and then it's pray without ceasing. And so there you go. But Jesus wept. And when it says that Jesus wept, this is right after he found out that his good friend Lazarus had died, and or had been told. I would say Jesus probably knew that he had died. But Jesus understood what it was to hurt, to mourn somebody that he lost, a dear friend. And I didn't even notice this till this past week. There's another time, and let's look at Matthew here, where John the Baptist was, taken into captivity by Herod, and the story goes that his stepdaughter danced for Herod and some of his the people that reported to him, and she wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter for her payment, and so John the Baptist was beheaded. And let's think, John the Baptist meant a lot to Jesus in many ways. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and he was also the one that prepared the way for Jesus, the one that announced Jesus coming, and just really prepared the Jews for Jesus' ministry. And when Jesus, as you can see here, John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. That's John the Baptist's disciples. And then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And I wanted to point this out, because I hope we all understand that it's okay to mourn. And we need to take time to mourn. It's very appropriate. I mean, Jesus sets the example for us right here. That it's okay to take that time to step away. Oftentimes we want to be tough about it. Depends what it is. Some things just hit you so hard you almost can't avoid it. Doesn't matter how tough you are. It's okay to mourn. Now in this case, Jesus withdraws to mourn to a private place, and then all of a sudden there's a small group of people that follow him. You ever hear of the feeding of the 5,000? It was right after this that the people followed him, and he took compassion on them in spite of his grief and ministered to them. And that's, it's not long after that that was the feeding of the 5,000. So wounds require attention. I know this one's harder for us guys, because we tend to be a little macho. We don't want to show our weakness. It's inherently built into us to be strong, to be a protector. But guys, I'm telling you, it's okay. It's okay to hurt, and it's okay to share it. And I know it's hard to share. It's hard to share because, you know what? We live in a culture that's so hard to trust people. So hard to trust people with information, because you don't know who's going to just accidentally say the wrong thing or post the wrong thing on Facebook, and all of a sudden everybody knows about it. But I really encourage you, find that person, find that godly person that can just be there for you. It's so important. Wounds, they come in all shapes and sizes. This is real. Okay, so I'm going to throw something out there. I'm going to say this boldly. We like to put degrees of difficulty on everything in life. We like to do this to one another. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to speak from both sides of wounds here. I'm going to speak from having been wounded and somebody that's shared with people that are wounded. Quit putting degrees of difficulty on this. Quit telling, when somebody shares something that they're going through, quit saying, oh, yeah, that's bad. But you know what? When I was such and such, and when I was here, you know what happened to me? It's one of the rudest things you can do to somebody that is sharing their heart and talking about what they're going through. And this applies at all age levels. We've got kids that are right here at MC3 that are going through hurt that to us maybe right now it seems like, oh, well, I went through that as a kid. You know, you'll get over that because their perspective's different. What's big to a kid is so different than what's big to us, but it's still big to that kid. It's still big to that teenager. It's still big to that young adult that's still looking for that special person in their life. It doesn't have to be that I can sit here and talk about being wounded because I went through something that we definitely classify as big because it cuts deep. But we've all been wounded. Did a little experiment this week, and I appreciate those of you that helped out. I put a post on Facebook, and I said, you know, if you could share with me in one word to five words, what's the hardest thing that you've ever been through or somebody that you know, and post as many times as you like. And let's be real. Of course, I wasn't planning on using the word cloud again this time, because remember, I used a squirrel last time because I get distracted easily by squirrels or shiny pennies or anything like that. But I used the word cloud. And when it comes to wounds, wounds are the elephant in the room, right? Nobody wants to talk about it because it's hard to talk about it. It is hard to sit down with somebody and share interest in what is hurting them. And to do it without saying, yeah, I know what you're going through. Yep. Yeah, well, when I was, you know, 17, this happened to me. This is the list. And a lot of this is people from right here in Lewistown. And you can just see some of the hurt that people listed. Alcoholism, depression, suicide, post-traumatic stress disorder, stolen from by a friend, miscarriage, addiction, abuse, losing everything in a house fire, losing loved ones, rape, young daughter with diabetes. And you know what? That wasn't even the Hales that posted that one. I'm so blessed by this. If you guys don't know, the Hales had an interesting week and found out that Chloe has diabetes. And that's a scary time for a parent. And it just so happens I post this blog, or post, it's not a blog, and friends of ours from Memphis happened to post child being diagnosed with diabetes at a young age. I saw that, I was like, praise God. Because I know their daughter's grown, and she's been through this, and Emily immediately sent a message to Dawn and to our friend from Memphis and said, hey, Joy, hook up with Dawn here. She just started going through this. Help her out, because there's going to be things to go through here. And it just, God's amazing. God's amazing how He works things out. But these are all very real to each of us that have gone through these. And I know that you guys might even be there sitting knowing what my story is about to be that I share with you. And you might be thinking, yeah, I don't know what it is to suffer like he suffered. You've suffered. You've been wounded. I'll pick on Sean and Kendra a little bit. I'll never forget how much they desired to have their first child. I'm going to start getting misty on this one. And I'll never forget the day. And if you don't know this about me, I remember everything with details. And it gets me in trouble. Right, Kara? But I was in Huntington. And I was finishing up my route for the week. And there was a little restaurant that I like to stop at as a coffee shop. And I remember finding out from Sean that after they had found out that Kendra was pregnant and they were just so excited, it was neat. It was neat to see how excited you guys were. And got that phone call that Kendra had a miscarriage. I think that was the first time that I really, really, truly hurt for somebody else. You know, and I know that God has blessed you guys so much, and your first blessing sitting right there beside you, and what a wonderful young lady Cara is. And I appreciate you guys. I know that you wouldn't mind me sharing your story. Let me just go ahead and jump in here, and I'll try to keep my composure as we go. So look at these cute kids. Yes, I know it's hard to believe. They were cute once. Especially Angie. Kidding. If you don't know, Angie's my sister back there. And we have a really good relationship. I'm really blessed. I'll only say this in front of everybody. I'm really blessed to have Angie as a sister. We grew up really close. Been through a lot together. But my life begins back when it began. And you know, in most churches, I'd love to share the date of when my life began. They're like, oh, he's young. But at MC3, they're going, oh, he's old. Young whippersnappers. But, you know, as a child, you go through things as a child. You know, you get your feelings hurt. And there's things that are very real that you go through. And parents, let's be sensitive to this. When we were children, who could hurt you the most? It's us. We have such a responsibility as parents because we mean so much to our kids. We are such a big part of their life. And so, you know, when I look back, yeah, there's things I remember that were really important to me at the time. But, you know, the first thing that really, really sunk for me when it came to hurt was in 1996. If you notice on the far left there, and sorry, Angie, I figured you posted it on Facebook, so why can't I share it here at church? That's Angie in the middle with the lovely hairdo from the 1990s, way back in the 90s. But the man on the left is my grandfather, Paul O'Donnell, and grew up very close to him, very close to him. He lived one block away. I actually live in his house now, own his house. He was my best friend. He was a neat guy. And he was one of these guys that you could refer to as a tough teddy bear. He was gruff. I mean, he came across real strong. But man, when it came to his grandkids, I just looked at my sister. Stop it. He was soft. He was soft. And I shared a ton of memories with him. Of course, growing up one block away from them, we were at their house all the time during the summers. My parents both worked. We spent a lot of time there. And is it really that time already? Holy cow! We spent a lot of time there. And just was really close. I even worked for my grandfather for a couple summers for $1 an hour and then $2 an hour. Doing some seriously hard labor. I lost him my senior year of high school. And that one was hard. That's the first time it really hit home for me. And then the next year, and this might sound cheesy to share this one, but in 97, I lost the first person that I really loved, felt that I loved, and in a relationship. Didn't lose them as far as life, you know. And Kirk, you look good with the flowers, man. Those are his flowers, let me clarify. But you know what? We pass these things off and we look back in our history and we're like, yeah, you know, those relationships come and go. But you know what? Sometimes those are very real when you're living through those things. They are very real. And this was hard for me. That was my next biggest thing that just kind of really sunk home for me. And then 10 years later in 2007, my grandmother, who I was very close to as well, she had passed away, and it was tough to lose her because, you know, it was like losing that second mother. It was very dear to me. And I also lost a dear friend that year. It was the first time somebody close to my age had passed away. life all of a sudden starts to feel fragile. And then in 2012, it's when I got my world shocked for the first time. I mean, I've been hurt, and I get it, and I've lived with it and dealt with it. But 2012, and of course you can see I've had these pictures progressing here, kind of what stage I'm at in life. I've got a beautiful family at this point, feeling wonderful about what's happening. Came back home, became part of MC3. But then December 9th came around. And so some things are going on in my life around December 9th. We were doing a series here at MC3 called The Many Jacked Up Generations in Jesus Genealogy, and which was planned 2-3 months before we even had the series. And we were talking about hurt, pain, the pain that was in Jesus' genealogy, the awful things that happened. I was just talking about how to deal with pain in life. Great series. Enjoyed it. Loved the play on Dr. Seuss. Didn't know what was about to come. I headed out that day. It was a typical day for me at that point. Flew out of State College Airport. And you mind if I just cut your song? Okay. We're going to cut the song at the end. Flew out of State College. And oftentimes I'd ask somebody to take me over so we didn't have to pay for parking. My mom and my dad drove me over to the State College Airport. Being the sarcastic person that I am, joking the whole way over, you know. And at that time, my mom had been going through a lot, and didn't realize how much she was going through. In the previous 3 years, she had had a non-cancerous brain tumor, the size of a tennis ball, behind her right ear here that was removed. There was trauma that came with that. During the course of those 3 years, she had 3 personality changes. She went to just kind of being tired and not just being herself, just kind of not as energetic as she once had been, to be expected with a surgery like that. During those 3 years, she took a fall in town here, and when she fell, she fell so fast that she landed flat in her face. And just had some head trauma that happened with that. Plus the embarrassment. My mom wasn't a proud woman, but, you know, everybody has their dignity. It was embarrassing for her to be in a public street and falling like that and having all that attention around her. Then she took a personality change that was crazy. I mean, crazy. I'll never forget her coming to. And when I say crazy, I mean just like full of energy, full of something in vinegar, if you know what I'm saying. And she would say things that I was like, Mom, you can't say those things in front of the kids. You know, this isn't my mom. I'm like, who are you? But really fun, too, at times. And then the third time that her personality had changed during that time, she just was really down. Really down. And it was bizarre. And of course, you always look back on these things and you start realizing things you never noticed before. But all of a sudden, her emotion just became flat, numb, no emotion. Conversations that normally my mother would have been crying over, or normally my mother would have been rolling laughing over, nothing. Didn't get it. Couldn't understand it. So my dad and my mom took me to the airport, and standing on that entryway there at State College Airport, gave my dad and my mom a hug, told them I loved them, and headed off for a weekend of training managers in Minneapolis. I was excited. It was our first graduating class that I had participated in and taught and helped through. As you can see, I arrived in Minneapolis that night, first time for snow that year. Nice welcome gift to Minneapolis. Of course, you're always going to get snow or cold. Woke up the next morning, December 10th. Typical day. Had some things to clean up before the class came in. The class was going to arrive Monday night. We were going to have class or start preparing for the graduation week on Tuesday. So I was getting that stuff cleaned up, and I didn't realize how significant this picture was until I looked at the timestamp. Our corporate offices are just a couple floors that we lease in a building you'll see here in a minute. But no, go back. They're connected by skywalks through this series of five buildings. It's pretty neat. And each building has something unique as far as restaurant, store. And if you know anything about me, I'm a coffee addict. And I had heard that there was a Caribou Coffee five buildings over. And I'm like, I'm going to go find that thing. And so I went and I found that thing. And I remember stopping taking this picture because it was so beautiful. So peaceful. The little pond outside was frozen over there. And the trees were just fresh with that snow. And the sky was blue. And I don't know how close. But basically the same time, or right around the time I was taking this picture, my mom was making a decision that we'll live with. And we have to live with the rest of our life. You see this building here, and these things have a way of marking things in your memory. Go ahead, Jer. I know exactly where I was standing. I received a phone call. You know, my dad and I, we talk on a regular basis, but he very rarely ever called me when I was traveling. And I saw that phone number, and my heart sunk. I was sitting at a little desk outside the office where this window is here. And when I picked it up, I knew something was serious, and it just so happened the office right behind me was open. And I walked into that office, and I stood there and looked out that window. And that building in the upper right corner, I was just standing there staring at that mom taking this phone call, hearing my father say, "Your mother's dead. Your mother took her own life." Unbelievable. If you knew anything about my mother, if you knew my mother, you were as stunned as we were. This is the last person you would ever think would do something like this. I was in shock, complete shock. I remember my boss's boss came walking in. It was her office I was standing in. And thank God for her. She was so wonderful in that moment, so caring, so understanding, and immediately made arrangements to fly home that night as quickly as possible. Talk about the longest series of flights ever in your life. She sat in the lobby down there, that's the bottom right-hand corner, and she just waited with me while I was waiting for my ride to pick me up, and we just talked about it. And it was just a month before that I had lost another dear lady in my life that I felt was like a mom to me. And I remember telling her, I said, "I can't believe this is happening. A matter of 6 weeks, and that even just this is blowing my mind." It just didn't seem real. It was like, I figured the next day I'd wake up at home in bed and it would have just been an awful nightmare. This is my mom. Some of you may have known her and don't realize it. She had worked in the public for years. She was an amazing lady, a godly lady. Some of my fondest memories of my mom are waking up in the morning and walking downstairs, and she's sitting at the dining room table reading her Bible. She invested so much in Angie and I to be God-fearing, to be God-loving. And like all of us, we let our parents down at times. But I thank God that that investment didn't go in vain. I thank God that I know Him because of my parents. I won't go into too many details here because I'm so close on time and I've really got to get this wrapped up. But thank you, sir. This is my story. And suicide is hard. Some of you have been through this with friends and loved ones because it is the one thing that you were left with no answers to. She didn't leave a note. Didn't even know my mom knew how to use a gun. Just cannot wrap our heads around it, no matter how hard we try. And I know suicide is one of those things that we rate as the big one. That's a big one. You've been through that. You've been through a lot. But I want to tell you something. As somebody that's been through it, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I'm sensitive to it. It's amazing how those things change about being sensitive to things. You know, you don't realize how much joking there is about suicide until you've been through it. And it's the same thing with everything else in life. This is what I want to tell you. I've been through this, but that doesn't make me special when it comes to being wounded. That doesn't give me some wounded privileges over the rest of you. That does not give me the okay when you start telling me your story of what you're going through and you're hurt to say, well, I get it. You're suffering right now, but it's nothing like having to go through a mother killing herself. Okay? I'm saying this because I know the credentials that we give to somebody that's been through suicide, and I'm through suicide, and I'm telling you, as somebody that's been through this, quit downplaying one another's wounds. They're very real for all of us. Wounds are very personal. You can go ahead and click through, Jer, click to the next one. They're very personal. They are as unique as we are. With every wound, there are special circumstances that come with it. Those special circumstances depend on your upbringing. They depend on your faith. They depend on your environment that you're in. They depend on your personality. So when you say, I understand, to somebody, you probably don't. And that's okay. It's okay. You can relate. I can relate to somebody that's been through losing somebody to suicide. But I still don't understand their pain. I still don't understand their circumstances. And the best thing to do is to just be there for that person. And to not just be there for the first 3 to 4 weeks after it happens, but to continue to be there, to be part of that person's life, to continue to encourage them. Wounds. Wounds help define who you are. And they will help define who you are in either a good way or a bad way. And I'm here to tell you, it's up to you. It's a choice that we have to make. And it's not an easy choice. I had some stories to share with you of some pretty unique people, and we don't have time to go through it, but some people that were through some just crazy things in their life. Just to touch on them real quick, there's this guy called C.S. Lewis. You may have heard of him. Wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. Wrote some amazing apologetic books. And check out his story sometime. But here's a guy that grew up losing his mother at a young age, thinking that God was non-existent, was an agnostic, saw the ugliest things that you could see in World War I. World War I was just an ugly war. Didn't believe in God, but praise God, he came back to him and became one of the greatest defenders of the Christian faith in the 20th century. Wrote my favorite book, Mere Christianity. If you've never read it, read it. He continued to have some experiences in his life. He lost the love of his life that he just didn't give his heart to anybody for years. And when he finally gave his heart to somebody, he lost her in a short time after to cancer. And just went into this depression, and he ended up writing a journal for himself that years later got published called A Grief Observed. It's raw. It's raw. It's very real. It's almost like Habakkuk of this generation saying, God, why have you taken this woman from me?
I don't get it. But he came back around to the fact that God is in control. Just an amazing story. There's another family, the Ten Boom family. And if you've never heard anything about Corrie Ten Boom, just real quick rundown, quick minute synopsis. Her family was a Dutch family during the World War II, and they were helping protect Jewish families, and they got caught protecting Jewish families. Strangely enough, the Jewish family they were protecting never got caught. They never found them. But Corrie was taken to, she ended up in, eventually in Ravensbrück, the concentration camp. And her dad and her sister Betsy and herself, and her dad died soon after they were there just because of the conditions. And Ravensbrück was brutal. It was one of the most brutal concentration camps. And Betsy, her sister, eventually died there in the concentration camp in early of December of 1944. And she watched her sister go through so much suffering and beatings and just the torturous way they treated them there. And Corrie went through it herself, and she lost her sister. And she could have just been, God, this life is ugly. How can this be your creation? How can this be of God? I think that's where I would be if I had seen everything that she had seen and been through. But you know, strangely enough, she was accidentally released at the end of 1944. Clerical error. They released her. And not long after she was released, they killed all the ladies at Ravensbrück. And Corrie Ten Boom walked away from there saying, God has a story for me to tell. She got on an airplane and she started traveling with no speaking appointment scheduled, with no hotel reservations. She traveled around the world to 60 different countries telling her testimony of God's love. It impacted thousands of people's lives in spite of her wounds, in spite of what she experienced. There's another young lady, and this isn't her picture, but it's the closest thing I could come up with, who was very wounded, turn of the 20th century. Lives in central Pennsylvania. Was raped. I can't even imagine how that would make you feel. She was raped. Embarrassing. Of course, there wasn't the kind of support back then. But she had her daughter. Her daughter was born. And her sister ended up raising her and taking care of her. And which was tough, because there she was watching her daughter grow up after having her out of rape. Her daughter grew up, also had a daughter, was an amazing lady. Her name was Jane O'Donnell, my grandmother. I would like to think that out of horrible circumstances, out of deep wounds, good things can happen. I can't imagine, had things not been handled differently for that young lady, my great-great-grandmother, that I'd be sitting here today sharing with you my experience. God is in control. God is sitting in His temple. And I've got to share this. I'm sorry I'm running over. I got to share this story. This was with my post this week. Go ahead and pull this up, Jer. I had somebody private message me and said, hey, I didn't want to post all these things because I didn't want people to, I didn't think that I want them to feel sorry for me. But this is somebody's story that they shared with me, and they wanted to share it with me not because they wanted me to feel sorry for them, but because they wanted to praise God. I really feel like God has looked out for me through all my trials. Here are a few from my life. Abandoned as a child by her mother. Physical abuse as a child. Family alcoholism. Pregnant at 17. Helplessness of watching a child make mistakes and going to prison.
Hopelessness of Alzheimer's stripping my grandmother and father of all dignity. Making mistakes myself that I can't take back. Watching my husband almost die several times due to health issues. More specifically, because of a liver transplant. Through this, I am so blessed with all I have. My family, my beautiful grandbabies, and all that I have worked so hard to achieve. It makes you stronger, and God was with me every step of the way, even when I didn't realize it. And I can promise you, knowing this person's story, I know that there was a lot of times that this person didn't realize it. And for many years, this person didn't realize it. But now she knows that God was with her every step of the way. God does know what He's doing in our lives and is not for us to question, but believe and trust. I have talked with my son about feeling like a failure so many times, but as I continue to grow in God, I realize that I am not. I asked this individual if she minded me sharing her story and if she minded me telling who it is. And I know he already knows it. That son that she has told so many times about feeling like a failure is Kirk. God knows what He's doing. Sorry, Kirk. She's an amazing mom. She's been through a lot. And you know what? A lot of you have shared a lot of these stories yourself. You've been through these things. You've been through hurt. You've been through pain. You've been through losing people to cancer, to family members being murdered, to suicide, to lost love, to divorce, to separation, just all kinds of pain. But God knows what He's doing. So honored to call Kirk my friend. We joke with one another a lot, but it's neat to see how God has taken a story like that. And Kirk has become so close to God and is a tremendous leader of his family. He's not perfect. I'll be the first to admit that. I mean, Kirk will be the first to admit that. I got to get this wrapped up. They're going to kill me back there. Coming back to Habakkuk. And I'm going to fly through this then and we're going to call this good. The Lord is in His temple. Let me give you a real quick rundown of this story. So God is telling Habakkuk, trust me, I have a plan. But as we already looked at previously, you're not going to see this in your lifetime. That's hard to accept. What if God told you right now that you're going to go through some awful things and it's for a reason, but you won't see it in your lifetime? What you're going through right now, the impact will actually be 500 years later. Okay, God, you say so. Well, this is what happened with Habakkuk. And the real quick rundown, because I'm a nerd and a history buff and I love this stuff. If you look at these maps, Assyria had been the world power. And at the time of Habakkuk, Babylon. So Assyrian Empire is on the left. The Babylonian Empire is in the middle. Then Persia takes over. And I'm giving you a really quick run through. And then the Greek Empire takes over. And then the Roman Empire takes over. And do you see something that happens with each one of these empires? They get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And do you know what happens when we had these takeovers by these empires? Every time a new empire came in, they spread people out throughout the kingdom. They didn't, oftentimes did not keep them in their own country. So before you know it, we've got this little spot over here in a circle that was Israel. Just this little dot in the map over here. And that's a generous circle. Spread out all over that large area. And then you've got all these dots that represent cities and outposts. And you know what's exciting about that? I get really excited about this. Because this is where I'm like, yeah, God's got a story for us to hear. God's got a story for us to understand. Every single one of those dots where there's cities, guess what's popping up there? Synagogues. Synagogues. And as they progress, the Romans end up with the Roman roads. If you've never heard of the Roman roads, it was the first major highway system, and you've probably heard all roads lead to Rome. They literally did. And transportation was safe. And what happens in the Roman Empire is that there's world peace. Travel is prevalent. People were traveling all over the world. There's synagogues all over the Roman Empire. And Jesus comes. God was preparing the known world of this time for Jesus to come through some awful things that were happening that Habakkuk would never see in his lifetime. And what happened when Jesus died? He died. He said, go spread the word. And how did the word get spread? It got spread by the apostles going and teaching in synagogues all over the Roman Empire, traveling on roads during a peaceful time. If it weren't for all those awful things that happened, the spread of the gospel would not have been possible like it became because of that. I think it's incredible. Now, again, I'm a history nerd, and I get all geeked out about this stuff. But if you're somebody that's into statistics and playing the odds, if you were a betting person, you would like these odds. These odds are incredible. And I don't think it's just unique that this all worked out this way. I'll leave you with this passage. So much for my hitting the time windows very well, huh? Paul, as travel is possible, and Paul's writing letters and they're being distributed throughout the empire, he writes to the Roman church, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. I'll never forget going through the toughest moments of my life, and more than once, that you were there. That the people that needed to be in my life were there. And God, I know that part of that takes an act of obedience to be continually following you. I thank you that I was at MC3 where I need to be, being part of this ministry when Mom made that awful decision that day, because you used the people surrounding me to help me keep my eyes on you, to keep my faith strong, and to become stronger. It's so important that we surround ourselves with godly people. It's so important that we put ourselves in the opportunity to have the advantage. It's so important that we have a relationship with you, God. And I just pray that maybe if somebody doesn't have that relationship that's sitting here, I can't imagine life without it. And I just pray that they would come to find you, God. God, our wounds are real. I know I rushed through a lot of this, and I hope that your message was conveyed here. This isn't about me. This is about you. And your story of loving us from the day that you created us to the day that you sent your son to the day that you will return again, that you love us and there is something so much greater happening than what we realize. And God, you also understand our suffering and our pain and that it's real. You don't just shrug it off like it's no big deal. I pray that we can love on one another. And love on one another the way that we should. And it's tough. It's tough to really, truly care about one another and to be there for one another and to be with people through the times that are hard and the times that they suffer. But I pray that we would take your courage, to have courage in you to be there and to support one another. God, I just pray that you'd be with us as we go our way today. In your precious name, amen.